that's the time I came to GE from the industrial world of equipment makers out in the Milwaukee, Wisconsin area. A big factor was the motivation the semiconductor people had from the various GE equipment businesses that ranged all the way from consumer products like radio and television at that time to industrial drives, drive systems, railroad equipment, radio transmitters, lighting, all the way from the consumer end up to outdoor lighting, street lighting, and industrial controls in a very big way. So before silicon took over as a material of choice in the late 50s, we had developed germanium rectifier diodes up to about 50 amperes and 200 volts. They were largely taking the place of selenium rectifiers, which was 15, 20, 30 years before that had been the rectifier of choice for industrial type applications. But the germanium rectifiers didn't come without their own handicaps. Selenium was its advantage. It withstood voltage transients very nicely and overloads, overcurrents, because it had big plates, had a lot of square inches per ampere. But germanium rectifiers had about, gosh, roughly a 1/100th of the junction area, rectifying area. And so when an overload came, they heated up and went over the hill very fast. A short circuit or a voltage transient would kill them very readily. They weren't large area devices themselves, so they needed cooling, even though their loss was very low. But to keep the temperature within reason as the current ratings went up, they had to be mounted on good heat sinks with cooling fins, or in many cases with water cooling for the big industrial jobs. Selenium ended up becoming a lifesaver for germanium and silicon because it could take small dabs of selenium, which could take overvoltage transients very nicely and absorb them, and we used them as voltage suppressors, germanium and silicon. We called them thyrectors, not thyristors, but thyrectors, and that became the saving grace for that industry, protecting germanium and silicon.